Welcome, Blog Talk Radio.
So, hip hop's finest hour on the radio. Make sure you go and start your day off right by getting that hypnotic coffee, hypnoticcoffee.com. Also, get them limited edition shoes before they're gone, hypnoticshoes.com. And also the limited edition Oakley glasses at hypnoticglasses.com. And then anybody that's looking to play any songs on here, see me at my email at hypnoticshow@gmail.com. Again, that's hypnoticshow@gmail.com. So I'm going to get to the music here, and then today's guest appearance by Nicki Minaj. We're going to get to the interview after some music.
Liu Kang. My shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Liu Kang. My shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Liu Kang. My shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Liu Kang. My shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Liu Kang. I got kicks like Liu Kang. From Gucci to J's. I got shoes for days. Nikes and Adidas. I could build a Foot Locker, Louis V the Prada. Who you know with kicks? How'd I walk into Nike town? Tell them bitches wipe me down. I missed the foot action. I got kicks off the wall, off it, eyeball. Like give me this, give me that. With a bitty hat to match, snapbacks and retro. Some J's I can't let go. You see my fresh pop tag? Leave them all with heavy bags. Major cool, don't you be like, what kind of kicks are those? Custom made, of course it is. You couldn't walk a mile in my forces, bitch. My shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Liu Kang. My shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Liu Kang. My shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Liu Kang. My shoot game is insane. I got kicks like Liu Kang. My closet look like finished line. I leave a trail of dead rappers when I finish rhyme. I'm fly with an air rat. Check that Air Max. I put cash in my shoe box. Adidas got them blue boxes. I got too many shoe options. You see them Gucci G's? Yeah, I got them. Louis V red bottom. My style loud like the sound of bomb mix. I should make my own shoes. I'm the white kind, yeah, I got an awesome plan. Still got plain money. I can cop them new Jordans, fam. I don't buy a pair. I buy 100, man. Walking in the club. My shoe game is insane. I got kicks like Liu Kang. My shoe game is insane. I got kicks like Liu Kang. My shoe game is insane. I got kicks like Liu Kang. My shoe game is insane. I got kicks like Liu Kang. My shoe game is insane. I got kicks like Liu Kang. My shoe game is insane. I got kicks like Liu Kang. My shoe game is insane. I got kicks like Liu Kang. My shoe game is insane. I got kicks like Liu Kang.
Hey man, so far I've been listening to your album and I ain't heard nothing you kick back and smoke a beady to, you know? Yeah, like that. Some of that mellow shit. Some of that shit that make bitches drink. Make niggas think. Help you check a fat ass bank. So why don't you kick some of that shit, nigga, only you know how.
I'm barely standing, and plus my second hand say it's midnight. Some Alizé and Chris Dale guaranteed to get right. Like misdemeanors is a small thing. With DJ Quick in his bitch, I let my balls hang. Running through the street light, cause we like. Young nigga, get your mob on, show them what a G like. Around the corner inside Vegas, or better yet like Reno. Niggas popping, welcome to our casino. Cause you and me know, 100% like casino. Looking for a bitch that's half black and Filipino. And when I meet her, I'm on for some endos. I'm kissing out the window of a pearl white limo. Don't wanna be your man, I'm your nigga. Touch me here, rock it bigger while I'm digging. I get deeper to your liver, I'm gang tight. Love fucking bitches in the same night. My words are aphrodisiacs if you say I'm right. The club be popping, so I'm stopping at the Fat Burger. Look through the paper, it's another black crack murder. The city's full of surprises. You can live or you can die. You can fuck on the first night or try in the late night. In the late night. In the late night. In the late night.
Around my way we lamp, many styles get cramped. I clock rocks in the rain till my socks is damp. Ain't nothing like being a thug when I could just sit on a row of death straight knowing that I'm blessed. Hussein fatal, flawless fatality. Overdosing on crime, three steps from reality. Get up, take it down, represent the town. Last night was popping like cock clocks with hollow tip
round. Who we calls the bail sheets? It ain't no telling if I wake up in the county in my jail sheets. My intuitions and ambitions up in the late night probably involves me coming up, but just to see another day. Might be me who fights the bullet. In these streets where a man journey with crooked cops and a society who trying to burn me, I'm like a pit in a cage, fitting my shells in a gauge, deadly as hate. Niggas getting crossed like a maze. I picture me living my life like a king, maybe one day until then I'm living Monday through Sunday. Bringing the gunplay for all these beats and battles. When we collide, I'ma ride on that high like cattle. Cowards pepper to saddle in the late night.
Money and multiple gunshots to show. Large amp, I blow. Niggas and lolos pursuing mohos to go home. The life of a California star. And when you see me in the drop top tag, how many niggas wanna be me? Game is automatic, mandatory. I sell to live and die, survive, but with a story to tell. Cause when you get your son riches, watch for dumb bitches to have you labeled a rapist before you get the tongue. Get the, it's a mean world, nigga, you strapped with being thrown away. Will I survive the late night to see dough today? Nobody knows me, I'm a shadow. My army fatigue made for battle. Pockets full of ammo, cause when I'm out in the streets, I'm on point with the static. Too many done died for semis, so now we automatic. I disappear whenever heated, ride whenever needed. For my niggas up in Clayton getting greedy. Continue to roll until I'm old, ride until I die. Supply long as you motherfuckers buy. My homies roll by in the bucket, but they ain't sure to duck a type of niggas. Don't for telling bitches fuck in the late night. In the late night. In the late night.
The world's most dangerous group, the motherfucking
die.
Ballin' like I'm Kobe. Rest in peace, Kobe. Ballin' like I'm Kobe. They been acting like they all know me. All my haters are trying to slow me. But I'm topping like I'm Obi. Swishing like a Nobi. There ain't nothing y'all can show me. If this is my last game, I'm dropping 60. I'm a OG. Dropping 81, ripping Raptors in 06. I'm a part owner, but swear, I've been a fan since. There's certain people that just can't diss. I stay hot, steady, swishing. I can't miss. Ballin' like I'm Kobe. I dropped 30 for a ring. I'm locked in it. Mamba from within. People taking shots at me. Only hit the rim. When I'm shooting for the win, guaranteed it's going in. Ballin' like I'm Kobe. Ballin' like I'm Kobe. Ballin' like I'm Kobe. Ballin', ballin' like I'm Kobe. Ballin' like I'm Kobe. ballin' like I'm Kobe. Ballin' like I'm Kobe. Ballin', ballin' like I'm Kobe. Rest in peace, Kobe. Blew a stack, left the club with a baddie. She said, you wanna see me? Just send the addy. Shit, we just met, but she already called me daddy. She tryna fuck me in the back of my Bugatti. She don't wanna leave me. Yeah, she know I got the juice. I got too many options, but I still don't wanna choose. Time passed, and I still don't wanna lose. It's hypnotic, man. This flow will get you loose. I've been ballin', I'm in the bag, and they're feeling money calling quit. Now, let me do the talking, yeah. I'm going hard till I'm in a coffin. I'm ballin', man, like me. Don't wanna come around often. Ballin' like I'm Kobe, ballin' like I'm Kobe. Ballin' like I'm Kobe, ballin', ballin' like I'm Kobe. Ballin' like I'm Kobe, ballin' like I'm Kobe. Ballin' like I'm Kobe, ballin', ballin' like I'm Kobe. Rest in peace, Kobe.
So, hip-hop's finest hour on the radio. About to get into that guest appearance interview, Nicki Minaj.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
How are you?
I am well. I'm blessed and
highly favored.
Highly favored, yes.
I have so much to talk to you about. Where do I start? Where do I start with you? I start with you at where I start often with you is our BET Cypher.
Okay.
Right? I focus there. I think that was 09. Somewhere in that area.
Mm-hmm.
It was me, it was you, it was Wale, it was a few people there. And word was around, Nicki is in this cypher.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Nope.
Word was around.
Okay.
Nicki coming, she spit, she rap, you better have your bars right. It was all
good.
No,
they...
I'm telling you, what was saying back then. He sends his love, of course.
Oh, okay.
And then I had my little camera. And I was filming. We did some filming afterward. I handed you the cigarette. But when I watch it today, to see your evolution and to see my evolution with the Queen's roots and how it just all intermingles, it's like beautiful. And then I go to your Instagram and you post 08 Nicki and 2022 Nicki.
Isn't that crazy? Out of nowhere, I just happened to post that yet.
But what does that Nicki say to that Nicki?
I wish that then I would have appreciated more things. I wish I would have appreciated myself more, my look more, that raw talent that wasn't so jaded and tainted with the ridicule from other people, you know what I'm saying? Like,
even that early.
Well, yeah, that early, I was still in that good place where artists are, where we are, when we just start getting a little bit known, and we're thinking, oh, I'm just about to do what I love and make people happy, and then before all of the other stuff comes in, you know what I'm saying? For label stuff, or you know, and remember, social media was just beginning when I started,
mm-hmm.
So I was like everybody, I was a lot of people's guinea pig. I was one of the first people to be shitted on the internet, on social media, like non-fucking stop. Every day I would go on, and it was some new story, made-up story, or, you know, bad picture, or, you know, it wasn't acceptable to have surgery at all or anything, even though, and at that time, I had never had surgery. I had ass shots. Which, till this day, I realize even what I did and even with me not consulting with anyone to do something like that, how insane that was. Like, it's not that you go to a doctor, a professional person. No. it's some random person.
Yeah, shorty in the Bronx.
Comes in. I was in Queens. Atlanta at the time. I was in Atlanta at the time. And actually what happened was I kept on being around Wayne enough. And at that time, you know, Wayne, he always talking about big booties and all. Wayne would have like a new chick in the studio every session. So it was always a new big booty.
Creative support. That's what I like to call it.
A new big booty there.
A muse.
Right. Actually, yes. Actually, they were his muses.
You like to look to the side and see something with some ass sitting there while you're trying to come up with a line.
That's right. And yes, I want to make sure I don't downplay those women because they have a big part in the journey of a rapper's career. You know what I'm saying? Because when they are out there, they would give him that fuel. You know, them smiling, them listening. You know, he would do stuff and then just see organically what they would respond to, right? All those things. So they were his muses. But I just was around them all the time, and I was like sister. I was like the little sister with Wayne and Mac and all these boys, you know, J Mills and Gutta and all of them. And all I would hear them talking about is big butts. And I didn't feel complete or good enough, good as them, as those girls, because I'm like, oh my God, you know, this is what you're supposed to look like in the rap culture, and I don't look like that. And now.
But that was you telling yourself that, and not anyone else saying that to you.
No, yeah, and they never told me that. Well, no, I'm lying. I think they said stuff sometimes jokingly.
Jokingly.
But to a young girl or up-and-coming rapper or anything like that, when it's from someone like Lil Wayne, it matters. You know, like, so even if they're joking, they don't know that the person that is there in that room with them is not finding it funny. They're thinking that. Now that I'm older, I understand. Sometimes you'll say something in front of someone, and you're thinking that they know that they're pretty, or they know that they're smart, or they know that they're talented, or whatever. You're thinking that this is what this person thinks about themselves, you know. So you'll say certain things around them or to them. But a lot of times you don't know how insecure a person is or what their insecurities are. So when you say certain things around women especially, you can never take them back. You know what I'm saying? So where they might have been playing with me, probably thinking, oh, she's confident, she's good in her own skin, da da da. They don't know probably that I always had that insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just joking. They didn't mean any harm, but it wasn't a joke to me. You know, I was laughing, but I didn't find it funny.
And that was the experience then. I ask because today it almost seems like there is a female rapper starter kit.
Thank you.
That you have to have before you come in.
Absolutely.
I try to stay out of women's business, but
it's rapper's business.
And that's the thing. So what do you think about even the evolution of that? From it being a joking thing to Wayne saying it to you to now it'd be like, all right, we can't even, it don't matter that you can spit. It don't matter that you look great, you feel great. For us to back you, you gotta.
You know what it is? I think it's the women. I think it's the girls, what their perception of a female rapper is. And they think, this is what I have to look like. You know, like, I would never see any female rapper wearing pink hair. Pink hair became a part of that starter kit.
Mm.
Every female rapper will put on a pink wig at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that was just the Nicki Minaj thing. That's why when I said pink wig, thick ass, it was, oh, that's a iconic Nicki Minaj line because that's what she wears. Now it's everybody. Pink wig, thick ass, right?
Do you hold yourself accountable for any of it?
Yes. And I used to say, well, because I was one of the first people saying, oh, I'm not these people's parents. But now I get it. I look at it from a different perspective now because superstars inadvertently become role models, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You can be the weirdest druggie in the world. If they like your music, they're listening to it over and over and over. It's programming. And they might try some of those things they hear you talk about. I remember I had a conversation with Future one time in the studio. And he said something that I will never forget. And he laughed while he said it. He was like, yeah, you know, people be thinking I do so many, like people be thinking I'm really doing a lot of drugs because I rap about it all the time. But they don't even be knowing I'm a lightweight. I said, in my head. Because there are a lot of people that are huge Future fans, for instance. And that's how they're going to feel closer to him because they're doing what they're hearing him rap about.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing that he's
he ain't on it like that.
Not like that, no. So that's why it's important. But you can't fault an artist. See, that's the thing. Just because you say you are a role model doesn't mean you're telling someone you're bad. Even though we are role models, it's like, how can you tell a rapper you're bad because you rap about that? And you didn't clarify in your music what drugs or how much drugs or what, you know. It's art. Okay, that was really, and I want to stress this because I know right now, they're in court talking about how, you know, their
lyrics
right.
and their
like,
impact. Can we use them?
That's insane. Could you imagine if we held film directors accountable for all the fucking murders they put in their movies?
And actors.
And actors. Can you imagine, and the director of the movie, and who actually wrote that line right here in this? Because whoever wrote that, what?
Okay, I'll offer some pushback.
Okay.
If Bruce Willis goes and kills 50 people in a movie, no one says a word. The second that he does it in real life, we might have to go back and look at that movie and make it applicable in court. No?
But we wouldn't. We wouldn't. Rap is the only genre of music, first of all, in my opinion. Rap is the only culture that from the beginning of time has been vilified. Like, from the very beginning, we have been treated like the bad guy. We have.
Well, we were the stepchild since inception. Fact.
Yeah, yeah. So they've been blaming us for stuff since the beginning. So it's not like they do that to actors. It would be different if y'all always pointing a finger at actors, and then Bruce Willis does something, you know, and then we say, oh, see what he was doing in his movie? No. Bruce Willis doesn't wear a target on his back every day as an actor.
No.
Rappers do. They look at us, where we're from. We can't help where we're from. We can't help that we are from the hood and we didn't have anything and we had to do certain things to get money. We can't help that. I'm sure Bruce Willis probably didn't have to do those things. So he's looked at as more as a law-abiding citizen. So we won't even, our minds won't even go there. If he was to go to a court for something like that, they wouldn't even bring up his movie.
Because he gets to go be Bruce Willis when he goes home, and you don't get to go be Onika.
Right.
I understand.
Right. We're held to a different level of judgment. We just, from the beginning of time, we always have been. So I don't think they would ever bring up any movies that these, especially the white actors, do. Now, maybe a 50 Cent show or movie, maybe they would do it to them. I think it's just about the culture. I think it's just about the... our culture. I think even if it was a black movie, sometimes they would do the same thing. I just don't think any culture that's predominantly white ever deals with that.
Are you aware Eric Adams, the New York mayor?
Oh, and about what, drill music?
Yeah. He said his son let him hear something and said, hey, this is dangerous shit. And then he went on the news and said, this needs to be abolished or something of the sort. And then all the drill rappers responded, but yeah, Eric Adams thinks that drill music is a threat and it's the reason that New York City crime is increased.
Shame on him. Shame on him.
And shouldn't somebody else educate him outside of his child?
God.
And shouldn't he spend more time on educating himself than just speaking about it the very next day?
Well, I think that, in it, what you just said, if we even just start looking at that, why is he doing that? The reason why he's probably doing that is to point the finger. Oh, hey, if anybody ever looks at my record as, you know, mayor and whatever, it's this drill music. That's what it is. Let's get this out of here. What? Well, drill music wasn't around in the 80s when everything was, why they had to do the Just Say No campaign and all this stuff when it was all this drugs and murder rate crazy skyrocketing. Was drill music there, Mr. Adams? No. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, I think they blamed rap music in the 80s too, though.
Oh, my God. But they don't, but they didn't blame rock stars, rock and roll. Rock and roll has been at the front of doing, you know, partying for a very long time. Drugs, sex, drugs,
rock
and rock and roll, right?
Synonymous.
Like, but when you see one of these white rock stars, our minds don't go on crime and drugs and all this bad stuff. Why?
It's a different image. It's different treatment. Like, I was about to ask you about just longevity in rap as a woman, but when you think of rock and rollers, and you think longevity is what, 50, 60 years?
That's right.
You've been around how long now?
Well, I guess since, technically 2007.
Do you feel the weight of being tasked with adding to what longevity as a woman in hip hop looks like today? Like, because you're basically like the, I don't want to say the blueprint, but that's where we are now. We had Kim who had a run. We had Foxy who had a run. Lauren had a run. Missy had a run. Today, though, you just kind of get to run and create and do as you please. It's a different era. It's a different time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there pressure that comes with it?
Of course. Of course, because in the very beginning of my career, I would always say in interviews that I don't feel that female rappers were given their just due in terms of on a long-term spectrum, like in my opinion, how they... You know, in my opinion, the female rappers before me, I would always say they should have retired as moguls, right? Like, big, huge moguls. And I would say, why isn't there a female version of Jay-Z, who at that time, even when I was coming in, we could see that he was on moguls, that, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I was like, I'm going to be that person. I'm going to do that. And even what I've done, I haven't done what I want to do, what I need to do, what I will do yet. I know it because... I'm talking about full-out mogul. But did they have the opportunities? Did they have the same opportunities? That's like so many rappers at that time, some of the biggest rappers, some of the most influential rappers, they've never made $1 million for a show. They've never made what they absolutely deserve based on the doors that they opened for others, based on their level of talent, their level of influence. They've never been rewarded for doing any of those things. And now they get to sit back and watch other artists who they know is not as talented as them, but just because of where we are with everything, with, you know, whether it's social media or rap being just the number one genre of music or whatever in the world, they have to now sit back. I know that can't be easy for them to watch. Because now they have to watch that they can't send their grandchild, for instance, to college. Whereas with all of the jewels that they gave to the culture, they should have been able to send their grandkids to college based on what they put into this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't get that. So yes, it's always been my goal to show. You give everything away, you give it away, you give it up. You know, like, can't go and see your parents all the time. You can't go and, there's so many things you just give up. You know, not Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know what I mean? While everybody is enjoying their family and stuff like that. And then one day you wake up and years have gone by and people start to die. And then you look back and think to yourself, was it worth it?
Missing
these moments that you'll never get back. Like, I know one of the most devastating things in my life was missing. My little brother was graduating from elementary school. And I just remember screaming at my mother. I can't believe you didn't tell me, you know, that he was graduating. And she basically was like, oh, I didn't think it was going to be. It was a big deal to you. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, yes, that's a big deal to me. That was a big thing. And for him to look out in that audience and not see his big sister, I was like, I remember I was in Europe at the time, and I told her I would have rearranged and rerouted my whole tour to make sure I was there to see him graduate. But little by little, even your family, even your loved ones, they start thinking, oh, I'm not going to bother him with this. I'm not going to bother her with that.
Yeah.
Instead of realizing, no, those are the things
these
I need.
Things are important to me.
Yes, I don't. You know, it's important for you as a human being, yo, as for your spirit, your soul. And as an artist, if you're not experiencing real life and real love and real heartfelt emotions, what are you writing about? And that's why everybody now is just writing about, you know.
Nothing.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
A bunch of nothing, because when you first, that's why people always go back to like when an artist first came in, because we always have that hunger, that pain, that this, because we're in it. We're in it. We're in the moment. I have to remind myself now all the time, stay in the moment, get back in the moment. You just left the moment, come back to the moment. Because I'm always thinking about what's tomorrow, what's next week, what's this month. Okay. And there are magical things happening that I'm not experiencing. I'm there physically, but I'm not experiencing it because I'm not there.
How much time do you spend alone?
Well,
and that's got to be tough at this level.
I actually spend a lot of time alone. I love being alone, actually. I'm one of those people that I used to just love getting off a tour just so I could just be in my bedroom alone and watch TV and do whatever I wanted to do and just, you know. I've never been one of those people that needs to go out to the club and stuff like that or be around other people. But I think it is important, you know, for me to try to do it. But to be honest, a lot. I mean, obviously my husband and my son, you know, are always there, you know. But I would say I spend a good amount of time in my own world, in my own little space.
Good. Okay. You mentioned earlier mogul. And that should be important at this juncture. What do you feel needs to be done or added for you to hit that vision, your vision of mogul?
Well, all of my beauty deals, you know, like.
Tell me about the beauty deals. I don't know.
All of just.
Because I was gonna ask.
Makeup and hair and clothes and sneakers and da da da. You know.
So you have all of those things happening.
I do. I have them happening. But there have been things that I put on hold in the last maybe year or two because obviously you never want to negotiate anything when you're not at your best in terms of what you're putting out into the world. Like, if you're a basketball player, you don't want to negotiate a deal when you just had, you know, when you haven't played, when you haven't been a starter or, you know, for a long time. But you do want to negotiate that deal when you just been, you know, a starter in every MVP in every last game. And, you know, you've been putting up, you know, 40 points a game. You know what I'm saying? You do want to negotiate your deals then because you know you're going to get what you're worth.
Yeah.
So I hadn't been putting out music, right? So...
But the last music you put out was received well.
Well, no, because there was a lot of, what's the word? Like, remember with the Queen album, there was a lot of bullshit going on, and I don't think that it was presented correctly, you know?
Received well, but not presented correctly.
Right. Yeah, and I don't think mentally I was in the right place. You know, even like with what I did afterwards. Like once that body of work was out, I don't think that I even presented myself correctly. You know, in terms of what I was saying and how I was saying it.
Dark time. Did you have to present something at that time?
No, I don't even think I should have put out an album at that time. I don't think that I was ready to put the album out. But it was something really stupid now that I think about it. Something stupid. I think it was like the VMAs were coming up. And then also one of my label mates was about to drop. And I wanted to make sure that she and I had our own week, each our own week, I think, and also be in time for the VMAs. It was something like that was going on. And that's stupid. You never base your art around an award show, around a photo, like around that. No, your art is your art. All that stuff can wait. Because when the art is great, all that stuff comes. You don't need to chase it. You don't need to... figure that out. It figures itself out, you know? So I don't even think the album should have been put out at that time when it was, in my opinion.
So, like every artist, you decide to go away and get it right.
Mm-hmm.
Because last project was, 4 years ago?
Right. Well, I was about to. I would have been putting something out after that, but, you know, I got pregnant. So once I got pregnant, everything had to I had to fall back because I don't want to be shooting videos pregnant, and I didn't even feel like recording and saying certain things pregnant, and then COVID as well. It just so happened that the two huge things happened at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you what it feels like to be pregnant during COVID. You know, just to even go to your doctor's appointment, it was so hectic to just, you know, go in. You know, everybody has to be masked, and it's scary because you don't know, you might, you know, you just don't know, especially your first child. You feeling like, oh my God, what if I do something and, you know, you just don't know what the hell you're doing.
A lot of precautions.
You know, yeah, and it's a weight, you know, it's a heavy weight on your shoulder because of it. So I had to do that. I had to have the baby, and then COVID, and then once I had the baby, you know, as a woman, you have to get back in shape and start, you know, just getting me also. But
yo,
also,
that's so unfair for y'all, yo. Why is there like this window that y'all have to get back in shape, look the greatest, and be right back out? Like, why y'all can't just chill?
I guess you can. I mean, so many women do.
But
know,
there is a pressure.
There's a price you pay for taking too much time chilling, right? So you don't want to do that. But also, I also wanted to bond with my child. Like, I see sometimes, you know, some people pop the baby out, and I couldn't. I wanted to bond with my son. I didn't want to just have nannies around. He still doesn't have a nanny.
For like, real?
He still has never had a nanny. Never. But it's very hectic, time-consuming, because I did, you know, I hired four nannies. They just didn't work out. You know, so I'm just trying to get someone that I really
so
love.
So you tried the nanny thing.
Oh, yeah.
And wasn't compatible.
So far. But obviously, we do have to get them acclimated with someone. Because,
yeah,
because
you're going to have to show up places on time at some point.
Yeah, and I have to travel outside the country. I have to do a bunch of stuff. I have to tour, can't tour, and, you know, be taking care of the baby and doing all that stuff and, you know, being on stage every night, so...
So this is like a roller coaster now. You come off the album, there's COVID, there's pregnancy, there's a baby, there's I got to get back in the Nicki mode. Now you got to kind of relearn yourself.
Yeah, because I also went through writer's block, severe writer's block.
After the baby?
During the pregnancy.
You was writing a bunch of whack shit?
Huh?
You was writing whack shit?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Well, I wasn't even writing anything. I was trying, and I wouldn't have no ideas. I think I was too worried about the baby. Or like, it just, I was just online Googling and YouTubing pregnant women all day. Like, oh, what did they do? How did they do? You know. And it was so many women, because what they do is, just not celebrities, regular women, they document their journey,
mm-hmm.
and it makes it so easy so that those questions that you might have, these women are telling you, you know, how, what happens, and answering questions, what to take to the, you know, when you go to the hospital, and how it's going to be raising a newborn, and how much, you know, sleep, how, just a bunch of stuff. So I was consumed with that, because, hello, I'm about to have a baby. I'm all the way in California. I don't have a bunch of family around me. What am I going to need to do? Well, I wasn't thinking about no damn writing some hot raps.
Yeah, naturally so.
You know.
How long did it take you to get acclimated or get out of writer's
block? Well, I came out of writer's block with Seeing Green. Literally, yes. Okay, so, how that happened was, I texted Drake one time and I was like, you know what? I want to put out... I was like, the label is wants to put out Beam Me Up Scotty, and I was like, I can't put out a mixtape and not give them something new, right? I was like, yo, what's hot outside out right now that you think I should jump on? And instead of him telling me, he texted me back and said, jump on this. And I listened to the song, and I'm so out of it. I was like, oh, this is out already? Y'all put this out? It was because him and Wayne was already on it. And he was like, no, you know, I was like, oh my God. So I kept on trying to write to it.
To women, or cater to women, the media people just think that it's smoke when it's just aggressive rap.
Oh, they always do that to me. They've been doing that to me since the beginning.
No, but we stopped doing that now.
Oh, yeah, okay.
No, we stopped now.
Okay.
There's a concentrated, I think, effort for the girlies to play nice with each other. I can see it.
Right.
Either play nice with each other or respect everyone's space.
Right.
So I'm not going to be the media nigga to put something in that, but I like that. Do you notice it? Are you cognizant of it?
Yes, of course. Of course. It's been... But it didn't
stop.
It didn't start from there. It didn't come from a good place. It came from the place of... Well... Yeah, it's great. Let's move on.
Yeah, wherever it came from, who cares? It's great.
Yeah, it's great.
And that was on display with that whole City Girls thing that we learned over the internet, however it was birthed. Like, that was more just leadership in that direction. Like, we don't need to mess.
That's right.
Back to how you fell off of your last project, just about how it was handled.
Mm-hmm.
That probably makes more sense for me as to why it seemed like every T is crossed and every I is dotted with your presentation this time. You haven't missed a beat.
Really?
For me. Talking about in terms of when the record dropped, you at the Hawks game same night.
Oh, yeah.
there are people that you have sat with from this side of the spectrum to late night.
Oh, yeah.
To Lil Baby being on both of the records, to the video being that type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
For me, this mad effort into presentation.
Yeah, for sure.
Here.
For sure. And it's not even the album rollout. It's just my rap song rollout. It's not even like a crossover record or anything like that. Yes, so you're right.
Even that, right? Like normally when we hear, okay, Nicki Minaj is dropping two records. One of them is going to be the little puppy smashy single, and then one is going to be for the heads. And
right.
But this time they both was kind of joints.
Mm-hmm. Rap. Yeah, because I have stayed away so long that I have to now, I feel, overdo my core. But here's the other thing, if I'm being honest. Anytime a sound works, people just forget everything about who they are and jump on that sound. Oh my God,
Yeah, you did you on that record.
Yeah, because right now, there's a particular kind of record that every female rapper is trying to do. Well, not every, a lot. You know, and I got some songs that I thought, some hooks that felt like that, and I thought, I can't do that. Last album, I did the same thing with Chun-Li, because it was like, okay, everybody's trying to do, or not trying, but doing the trap thing. I purposely bought a studio to New York, I mean to L.A., and said, I just want you to give me New York sound and shit. That's it. Don't give me nothing that sounds like trap. That's why we have Chun-Li and Barbie Ting. Just, you know, because everybody's doing that. Now, if I were to come out with a crossover record right now, that sounds like what everybody is doing with, you know, I wouldn't feel good about myself. So, in my opinion, I have to do me. Shout out to my core, just the rap fans. I have to give them what I think they've been missing. I also wasn't going to come out with a very explicit song because I feel like that's what everyone's doing. Everybody seems to be doing, you know, something extremely explicit. Or a kind of a hook that sounds like, because, you know, once anybody has success with anything, it seems like everybody just jumps on that sound. Even if they may not have even liked it, it might be people behind them telling them to do it. Once you do that, and once you do it a couple times, who then are you? We've now forgotten who you are. We've now forgotten who you are. And so I don't think people realize that if you jump on it, every trend, you become faceless. It's like...
This is a deep point.
Yeah, it's important. It's important people know this. Yes, I know you want the biggest radio smash. So somebody in your camp told you, well, you got to do this because she just won with that. So make you got to have a hook that sound like that. Okay. Now, when they talk about female rappers, eventually your identity goes away. So now, when they bring up female rappers, you will never have a standing chance at longevity, really, you know, a name that's really going to stand the test of time. We all do it as artists. But sometimes I feel some people do it with everything. It's always, okay, well, what's hot now? Let me jump. Just, you know, and you have to be careful because, yes, it might give you the biggest smash song for that moment, but afterwards you'll realize you don't have an identity.
Yeah,
really.
But nobody is ever here to tell them about what happens afterward, right? And what happens when you're just trying to find yourself, but you never do.
Mm.
Like some people are not in it for back end money or making sure their kids are right. Some people just want the quick notoriety, quick record, and I'm done with this.
Oh.
Give me my quick pub check and I'm out.
Got it.
Everybody's not passionate, right, about this.
Okay. You're right. I guess you're right.
How do you avoid that type of complacency at this juncture in your career? How do you go about creating and rolling out differently, just challenging you? Fuck what the label is saying, what the fans are saying. How do you just avoid boredom with creating?
I don't know. I just think it comes from me being very hard on myself naturally. You know, like I'm telling you, I have songs right now that if I was to put it out, they would check all the boxes that people probably think I want to have checked. But I can't live with myself. What people want, a lot of people want, and what I want, I guess, are different. I want to be able to have integrity. I want to be able to, when I go home at night, look at myself and be like, solid individual right here, period. I don't give a shit. Like, I don't mind if someone says, oh, she's a bitch or she's this, she's that. But I'm a solid human being, solid person. So as an artist, I hold myself to that same standard. I can't, like, I can't just blow whichever way the wind blows that day, you know what I'm saying, in order to chart, or in order to sell, or in order to whatever. Mm-mm. I fell back for years, because I don't need to be in the rat race of whatever it is that people are doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, people think that right now, the rat race about number ones or this, you know, on Billboard Hot 100 is the only thing they should be caring about. When I said this, but I don't think this came out yet. I think I talked about this in my documentary. But in the history of rap, you've never and will never hear anybody disputing who is the best MC. You know how we have those MC talks? You'll never in the history of rap hear somebody say, oh, you know what's the tiebreaker? Who had the most number ones?
No.
Who had the most number ones between Jay-Z, Biggie, and Nas? No. Who had the most Grammys between Jay-Z, Biggie, and Nas? You'll never, ever in life hear any hip-hop head say, well, the tiebreaker for me to decide who is the illest rapper, let's ask that. No. So I think a lot of people got into it, like, thinking that that's what mattered, and now they're realizing that doesn't matter. Because if that was the case, I would have been long gone being discussed.
Mm-hmm.
But you see that that's not what people care about in rap, in the culture. We care about technique, and it's not always supposed to be metaphors and all of that. Some people that I love don't spit metaphors, and that's not their style, and that's fine. Like, I think that's the other thing. I think people think that I only look at certain kinds of rappers as dope. No. It's a lot of rappers that don't rap like that. But you could still see they're passionate about what they do and how they do it, and that it's authentic to who they are.
Right.
And they're not switching it up every second just because of something, you know, is hot this season. So that's a different level of respect that you have for those people.
I agree.
To the music.
Machiavellian is Illuminati all through your body. The blows like a 12-gauge shotty.
Feel me? And God said he should send his one begotten son to lead the wild into the ways of the man. Follow me. Eat my flesh, flesh of my flesh. Come with me. Hail Mary, run quick, see. What do we have here? Killer, but don't push me. Revenge is like the sweetest joy next to getting pussy. Picture paragraphs unloaded. Wise words being quoted. Beat the weakness in the rap game and sold it. Bow down, pray to God, hoping that he's listening. See a nigga that's coming for me. My diamonds when they glisten. Now pay attention, rest in peace, Father. I'm a ghost. In the killing fields, Hail Mary, catch me. If I go, don't go deep inside the solitary mind of a madman. Screams in the dark, evil lurks, enemies. See me flee, activate my hate. Let it break till I'm playing it. Set trip, empty out my clip. Never stop to aim. Some say the game is all corrupted. Fuck finish shit. Stuck, niggas is lucky if we bust out this shit. And blood. Mama told me never stop until I bust a nut. Fuck the world and they can't adjust. It's just this way. Oh, Hail Mary. Come with me. Hail Mary, nigga, run quick, see. What should we have here now? If you wanna ride or die. Back with promise makers, never realized the precious time that bitch niggas is wasting. Institutionalized, I live my life a product made to crumble. But too hardened for a smile, way too crazy to be humble. We ballin', catch me Papa please, cause I'm fallin'. In the liquor store, that's the Hennessy out here callin'. Can I get some more? Hell till I reach hell, I ain't scared. Mama checkin' in my bedroom, I ain't there. I got a head with no screws in it. What can I do? One life to live, but I got nothing to lose, just me and you. On a one-way trip to prison, selling drugs, we all wrapped up in this living. Like the studs to my homeboys and Clinton Max, doing they bid. Raise hell to this real shit, and feel this. When they turn out the lights,
I be there in the dark, love like eternal through my heart. Now Hail Mary, nigga, come with me. Hail Mary, nigga, run quick, see. What do we have here now? Do you wanna ride or die? La da 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 da. Come with me. Hail Mary, nigga, run quick, see. What do we have here now? Do you wanna ride or die?
Coming with slugs. Peep the whole scene and whatever's going on around me. Brain kinda cloudy, smoked out, feeling rowdy. Ready to whack the party up. And whoever in that motherfucker, nasty new street slugger. My heat, deep suckers on the regular. Mashing in a stolen black act. Integra, cock back, sticky seconds to the draw. That's when I'm dead in your feet first. You got a nice gap, but my heat swerves. From a thug to preaching church, I gave you love. Now you eating dirt, needing work. And I ain't the nigga to put you on, cause word is born. When I was broke, I had to hustle till dawn. That's when the sun came up. It's only one way up, hold your head, stay up. So all my niggas get your pay and wait up.
If it's on, then it's on. We rake beat breaks, outlaws on the paper chase. Can you relate to the shit I don't got? Be the shit I gotta take. Dealing with fate, hoping God don't pull the gate. If it's on, then it's on. We rake beat breaks, outlaws on the paper chase. Can you relate to the shit I don't got? Be the shit I gotta take. Dealing with fate, hoping God don't pull the gate.
Traveling on this weary road. Sometimes life can be a heavy load, but we ride, riding like a bullet. Hail Mary,
Hail Mary.
We won't worry, everything will hurry. We'll bring life up under the tree. We won't worry, everything will curry. Yes, we're free like a bird in the tree. We're running from the penitentiary. This is the time for liberty. Hail Mary, Hail Mary.
Welcome back to the Hypnotic Show, hip-hop's finest hour on the radio. And I just wanted to wrap up this today's show. I wanted to thank Nicki Minaj again for the guest appearance on the show. And then tomorrow, I will release the schedule of guest appearances for next week, Thursday to Sunday. And then I'll let you know. And then I'll talk to you guys again on Thursday at 8. And then make sure to start your day off right by getting that hypnotic coffee at hypnoticcoffee.com. Make sure to get my limited edition shoes before they're gone, hypnoticshoes.com. And then also make sure to grab my glasses, Oakley glasses, limited edition ones there, at hypnoticglasses.com. And anybody looking to send something to play on the radio, send it hypnoticshow@gmail.com, hypnoticshow@gmail.com. And then make sure to go check out K9 Magazine, my interview on there. That's K9Magazine.com/hypnotic. You can listen to the or watch the interview there. And then if you want to check out the cover, me and MJ are on the cover, you can peep that. Just go to K9Magazine.com. So that's it. That's the end of today's show. Make sure peep you guys on Thursday. Peace.